This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an awesome day. We're looking for keys to winning this series against the Golden State Warriors, which will be underway tomorrow at 877-881-1053. TheTruckWreck.com. Fantex is open. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus. There he is, Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup. Eric Chiafalo in the talk booth. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video at 105.3TheFan.com and on Twitch. Before we get to these keys to winning the series, Lucius, do you happen to have the cut? I forget what it was exactly of what Eric Chiafalo asked our special Rangers guest back there in the 320.
Oh, God, no, Lucius, you did not pull this.
That Cole Calhoun.
You have way too much respect for me than to pull that dumb thing that I said earlier.
Sometimes you ask a great question, you're like, nailed it. Other times, as soon as the words come out of your mouth, you're like, oh, God, what did I just say?
Yeah, I have it in whole. I don't have it clipped down all the way yet, so I'm sparing you a moment, just a moment in time.
All right.
You're probably here pretty soon.
All right.
That one hurts. Right. It was the dismount, too, on that one. It wasn't like it was wedged in the middle of the question. It was the damn dismount. Well, gosh, that's going to sting.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. First thing for the Mavs to understand is I think they got to come in with the right mindset. You're the hunter. You ain't the hunted. These are not the Dynasty Warriors. They're old. They're not the well-oiled machine. They are much more like the Mavericks than the Warriors that dominated that 4 or 5 year stretch. Those teams had so much basketball IQ on the floor that they would outthink the opposition and make them look overwhelmed. And I'm sure the Mavs understand this. They had plenty of success against the Warriors in the regular season. But one of the great things about a championship team is after you've established, hey, we can do this, then like past their prime all-stars start going, well, I made all the money in the world. They got a little bit of cap space. Sure, Andre Iguodala, I'll go to Golden State. Sure, Andrew Bogut, I'll re-sign with the Warriors. Sean Livingston. Remember Zaza Pachulia? I mean, these are guys that were either all-stars, franchise players, regular starters for many, many years that they had coming off the bench. And now they are much more back to normal, where your supporting cast are either washed-up guys or young athletes trying to find their way and make a name for themselves, like Poole or Gary Payton Jr. or something like that. But I think that would be my mental note for these Mavericks, and a huge key to win to the series is you saunter into this thing, you swagger crotch first, and you go out there with the confidence that you are every bit as good as this Golden State Warriors team, Chief.
100%, 100%, and I think that's exactly where they find themselves right now. Like the way they were able to not just beat Phoenix, but in that game seven, going on the road and absolutely dismantling them, embarrassing them to a point where they felt obligated as an organization to pump out a fan apology to the entire fan base. Like, I think that should instill all the confidence in the world. And yesterday, right, we were doing the Tell the Truth, and Broaddus is asking us, hey, what carries over from the Suns series into this Warriors series? And there's a lot that doesn't. But one of those things is that general confidence that this team should have in itself to say, man, we just took down the big dog of the entire league. So nothing can really stop us. Why not us? Let's go in there the same way we stormed into Phoenix. Let's go storm into Golden State and let's put a whooping on them.
Yeah, I think in the first two series against Utah and Phoenix, they came out like, whoa, are we ready for this? You know, and it really took an adjustment in this Suns series to come out and play with more confidence. You can't go in there with beta energy, Brian. You got to play like the alpha now. You're in the conference finals.
No, you are. You have to play like that, and you have to play with the swagger. And, you know, if you look at it, they've taken down really two impressive offensive teams. Utah was a team that was very good offensively. You look at the numbers, the three-point numbers, what they were able to do. I think they were like a 43% team for threes during the season. Dallas holds them like 35%. I mean, there are ways that Dallas has played defense. You know, it hasn't always been pretty. They've limited some teams with really good offensive firepower. This is another team that they're going to have to limit, you know, the opportunities that they get. But I've got the hope. I've got the hope because I do think that the one thing that has traveled or will travel will be this defense. How about this? How about the intensity to play defense? How about the desire to play defense? How about the, you know, just that ability to go get that loose ball? You know, all the times we're thinking, oh, you're going to get killed in this or killed in that. Mavericks kind of find a way to kind of hold things in check so they don't get totally run off the floor. There have been some bad games. They've had some bad nights. But overall, the one thing this team does is if they do have a bad night, they put it behind them and they move on to the next game. And when you're playing against these really quality teams in the NBA every other night, you better have a short memory on some of these nights.
All righty, yeah. At 877-881-1053, we're discussing keys to a Mavericks series victory. 214 says, if you're making fun of Giafalo, Gavin, you should think about that for about 50% of the stuff you say during the day. Some of your takes are just plain weird. Hey, I'm comfortable being weird, you know?
But you're not comfortable letting the words yummy delights come out of your mouth, right?
No,
I mean, that's
no.
Where you draw the line. That's where we should all draw the line.
I think the first time I was called weird was in 1984, the third grade. I still remember it. And I was like, well, you know what? I'll own that one. No doubt about that. 469, overcoming and destroying the Suns' defense was massive and impressive. Don't let Clay set his feet, says the 732. Yeah, you know, I think those are key things, but I think a much bigger thing when it comes to the X's and O's and strategy is slowing down Steph Curry. And I think they are going to attack him the same way that they did Chris Paul and Devin Booker in this last round, and, you know, blitz them, double team them. And if Steph Curry is not going to have great solutions for that, then it goes to Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. And, you know, the decision making, the shooting and all that is significantly different, you know, once Steph loses the ball.
Well, I think one of the interesting things about this series, and we talk about the Mavs defensively and just how awesome they have been minus those first two games in Phoenix, but for a large sample size now, basically the entire 2022 portion of this season and into these playoffs, the Mavs defense has been outstanding. Now, what's going to be fun about this particular series is the challenge offensively that Golden State brings your way compared to what Utah and what Phoenix did. Because what was Utah and Phoenix? They were a very traditional pick and roll kind of team. And so it was, you knew what to expect from that standpoint. Golden State, they'll do some pick and roll, don't get me wrong. And there's times where if I'm a Golden State fan, I look at them and I'm like, please, let's have a little bit more structure here because we're turning the ball over left and right. But what they will do with this Golden State offense is they want to play just random basketball. And it's the split game, the handoff kind of ball, and it's just like these all-wing lineups that they'll roll out, and it's just Steph on the move, and I've heard people refer to the Warriors' offense as just like a blender kind of offense because it is so random, there is very little structure, and it can be volatile. There can be some big-time highs, and they're cashing out on threes, they're forcing turnovers defensively, and we're just running around playing this wild brand of basketball. But then there's times where it really plays into your hand defensively because things get out of sync a little bit. They're a little bit wonky.
They turn it over a lot.
They turn it over a ton, and I think that's where the Mavericks, like the turnovers on both ends of the floor are going to be a huge factor here because Golden State turns it over a lot, and they defensively were a big, like one of the reasons why they have been so good is because the Warriors forced a lot of turnovers. I think they were like sixth or seventh in the league in terms of forcing turnovers. But the Mavs are one of the best when it comes to ball protection. Like, the Suns turn the ball over, like, force a lot of turnovers defensively. And what'd you see? Like, it's still the slow-down, half-court, methodical kind of offense. The Mavs don't turn the ball over. And I think that's going to be a huge thing to monitor here because the Warriors, that's how they get you in these transition, easy buckets, pull-up threes, and then their arena's going nuts. And I don't think the Mavs are the type of team that are going to fall victim to that overly often.
Yeah, you know, if you're Dallas, the defensive plan really, I mean, if you look at the Memphis series, maybe a little bit more of the Memphis series than what you saw in Denver, Curry hasn't really been shooting the three all that well, if you just look at percentages, you know? I mean, and just in the Memphis series alone, you know, he's at 27%, 25%, 28%, 35%, 37%. Obviously, Memphis did something to him. You know, and again, it's Memphis is a physical basketball team. Memphis will get into your face and mix you up a little bit and, you know, and play you tough that way. I'm interested to see if Dallas comes out with the same, you know, Gavin was talking about some of the blitzing and trapping and all that stuff that the Mavs might need to do. But Memphis had a plan for how to handle Curry in those three-point shots.
Well, so do the Mavs. You remember the final Warriors-Mavs game of the year?
Yeah.
Steph Curry attempted zero shots in the fourth quarter. He played all 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Did not even get a shot up.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he was asked about, hey, Luka was getting everything he wanted on the other end. He's like, yeah, we have to take a page out of Jason Kidd's book and start blitzing Luka Doncic and hitting him with the double team off of the pick and roll. But they did not change that approach as the season wound down. And then against Ja Morant, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Against Jokic, they didn't do it.
Right.
Morant averaged 38 points in the three games that he played.
Yeah.
He was absolutely going off. So, you know, I think a huge key is Luka Doncic taking care of the one-on-one coverage and not settling for jump shots, because if it's one-on-one against anybody in the NBA, he's got to be, you know, hyper-focused on getting into the paint and still collapsing the defense. Their goal is to stay home on all the shooters and not let role players beat you. And of course, the way to do to beat that is an incredible individual performance from Luka Doncic. I think he might score 40 points a game, 42 points per game. The all-time record is Jordan at 43.5 points per game in an individual playoff series. I wouldn't be surprised if that is...
You can flirt with that a little bit?
I think so. You know, I think a 50-point playoff game...
You just want it to be efficient, if that's what it's going to be. Yeah. Like, you don't just want it to be, all Luka's getting his, but he's doing it at like a 38% clip, and then nobody else is really able to get involved. I think getting into the paint, we discussed this during the Suns series, like the Mavs offense is so much superior when they just find a way to, at any point in any given offensive possession, to get the ball into the paint. And then they do the drive and kicks and all that kind of stuff. Their points per possession skyrocket when just at any point in a possession, the ball touches the paint. When it doesn't, and you start getting the, game six reminiscent or game five reminiscent in the Suns series, when it's just everything's outside, there's no ball movement, there's no off ball movement from the players, and it's just stagnant and they're just jacking up shots, that's when they get themselves in trouble.
Yeah, and it can be tempting to go there, because when it works, it's amazing. Like when Luka's shooting from the outside and making those threes, it's backbreaking, and all of a sudden the other team's like, timeout, I can't believe we're down 15 points right now. But when those aren't falling, you absolutely have to drive into the lane, you know, wait till your rhythm comes back, and then take another shot at the three-pointers. They call everything a foul versus game seven when they let them play. It's the refs that will control this. We just saw what happens. Okay. Well, at 877-881-1053, the truckwreck.com fan text is open. For you. I think so much of this comes back to Luka, though. I don't know how he lost concentration so thoroughly. In three of the 11 playoff games that he's played so far, over 25% of the time, he has played poorly. The one game against Utah in game four, when you had a chance to really knock him out and go up 3-1, it was a horrible game. Twice against Phoenix, horrible games. I think you have to go back to that well if you're Jason Kidd, of challenging your best player and saying, you know, if you want to be iconic like this, you can have a bad game every now and then in the playoffs. But one out of every four times that we're going into a game, you're settling for jumpers. You're playing pathetic defense. Luka remaining focused is a huge key for this series. All right, let's go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander is standing by. And what was exactly that phrasing of Chiafalo's question to Cole Calhoun earlier on the Fan?
Yeah, I got it right here for you.
All right, appreciate you.
Jeez. Did you get your hands on some good local eating around here, Cole? I mean, we got the barbecue, the Whataburger. Have you been pleasantly surprised at some of the yummy delights?
Cole's like,
lesson.
Yummy delights.
I got caught up in the air. You know, these guys, they stop their dribble, they jump up in the air, and then they're lost. Like, oh no, can I shoot it? Can I pass it? Where can I go? And I'm like, I'm just gonna bail into Yummy Delights here. I've never said those two words in my entire life. I have no idea what happened. And as soon as I said it, I'm like, I was waiting for you guys to look at me like, what the hell did you just say?
Any theories on what happened there, Brian?
No, I was just wondering, if you were in a situation, where would you rank that as your all-time worst question?
Some of the yummy delights? that's the sad part. It doesn't even come close.
It's not even top 10.
Is
this your all-time worst?
The all-time worst, I have two terrible ones. One is a 66-second long question to Stephen Jones.
Oh, I remember that.
That was good.
Which, funny enough, is the same amount of time it took me to woof down a Big Mac.
That one G-bag of the day, by the way.
Did it? Okay, very good.
The question.
And then we had a wounded warrior.
Yeah, now that's that fire.
That's the one.
No, what happened there?
That's that fire, bro.
I was really caught up on asking people, you know, whether or not you sit when you pee and stuff in the comfort of your own home. And I alluded to something of like, hey, like you're a manly man. Like you're not going to respect a guy who sits when he pees, right? Even if it's in the comfort of his own home. And then he said something about how he's got a lot of veteran friends who don't have their legs anymore.
Yeah.
They have to sit when they pee. And it was just an extremely awkward moment for me. And I was like, wow. Oh,
so
man,
that's
I
the
really
all-timer then right there?
That's probably the all-timer. I've had some bad ones to Sandler as well about, you know, Rangers and stuff like that. I've had some bad moments, but I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, wow, these guys are letting me onto their show in the G-Bag Nation. Do they know how unprofessional I am?
Nothing can top RJ Choppy with Jim Kelly. You familiar with that one?
Yes.
Why do you still live in Buffalo? Well, my son is buried there, RJ. Good question. That shut it down. Is Yummy Delights like a phrase you use with your lovely daughters, though? Is this from anywhere? No?
I mean it when I tell you I've never in my entire life said those two words combined. Mm. I've never said this. So I don't know. I'm telling you, I got caught up in the air, and I didn't know what to do, and I bailed into Yummy Delights.
Well, I'm thinking about like a churro with ice cream or stopping by Brahms or something. Yes. Like you planted a seed in my head
it's
now.
It's like a Little Debbie snack cake.
That's exactly
that,
right.
That is a yummy delight
like a
right there.
Frosty delight. Yeah.
Yes. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. By the way, the Rangers Player Show is every Tuesday at 3:20, brought to you by Texas Can Cars for Kids. Right off the car, not the kid. When we return, it's time for Bobby Belt to join us. He is presented by the On-Time Experts. Cowboys Insider next year on 105 Through the Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. Boston Celtics going to be without Al Horford and Flower Mound's Marcus Smart for Game 1 of the East Finals. Horford with safety protocols and Smart with a foot injury. So that's tough for Boston as they try to knock off the number one seed Miami Heat. Bobby Belt set to join you here, talk some Cowboys football with them. The TruckWreck.com Fantex 214. Cinnabon Delights from Taco Bell are the only delights allowed to be described as yummy. Do you think that's where the seed was planted?
The Cinnabon?
Are you a Taco Bell guy? You hit that drive-thru, you see the delights?
Yeah, I like the cinnamon twists at Taco Bell.
Those are really good.
Those slap pretty hard. I'm a big churro guy. If you've ever been to Rusty Taco, they do a great frozen margarita, by the way, but also they do an outstanding churro that's got like this little, it's got something in it. It's like, I don't know if it's like a caramel situation, but they got some type of filling inside the churro.
Yeah.
I would describe that as a yummy delight.
Yeah, that sounds outstanding, man. I'm getting hungry just listening to you talk about it. I don't know if I'd call it a yummy delight, but I would enjoy at least six of those.
Oh, I'm going to have to start saying this all the time now. We're going to get a lot of yummy delight action.
So another guy says, hey, Chief 940, when you get your own segment, you got to call it Eric's Yummy Delights.
Yeah, I'm already workshopping it. We're going to get this thing figured out.
All right, LA Live is coming up here in 15 minutes. Lucius Alexander hits the main stage. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Texting and driving or drinking and driving are both selfish acts because it's not just about you disregarding your own safety. It's a disregard for someone else's life. A reminder from Franklin Frankel. Visit truckwreck.com or call 214-333-3333. And a good evening, Bobby. How the hell are you?
I'm wonderful, General, and I gotta say that if Cheech, you don't, when your radio career is over, if you don't like create a line of edibles called, you know, Yummy Delights, I think you're really missing something.
Hey, it's good.
But one of my favorite things also, hearing you guys talk about Cheech's questions, one of my favorite things is like Cheech also has a little bit of Ron Burgundy in him that like whatever goes up on the teleprompter he'll say. Yeah. And so one of my favorite questions he asked was during Super Bowl week this past year when I just jokingly texted him while they were interviewing Lofa Tatupu. And I was like, ask him how much a loaf of tutupu costs. And Eric did. Like, Eric just was like, oh, okay. And, like, asked him in the middle of the interview.
Yeah. No, somebody reminded me about my question to Babe Laufenberg.
Oh, gosh.
Which is a tough one. I was like, Babe, if your name's Babe, what do you, like, what's the pet name for your wife? Because I think a lot of us will call wife Babe. And he's like, well, I'm divorced. And I was like, okay, very good. Moving on here.
And I want to hear what Lofa said to that great question.
He just kind of laughed, and he didn't really know where to go with it. He's just kind of stuck and just giggled his way through that one.
Well, it's not worse than the question I asked Jerry Jones a number of years ago. I think I was super hungover, and it was highly regrettable.
Was that last Boy Scout question about Dez?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well, yeah, he thought Dez was going to pull a last Boy Scout on the field.
Please dig it up and make me feel
I wish. Lost. Yeah, it got washed out in the game. Yeah. I wish.
That was bad. It was so bad. Immediately after asking it, I just continued talking and apologized to Jerry for asking it. And then he answered it. I was like, please make it all go away, Lucius. Dump everything.
Oh, yeah. And we can never forget Corey Major's question about the embarrassing
situation. Are you
embarrassed? To Jerry.
Get yourself together yourself.
Yeah, we got and remember Bassick in 2018 asking about the coach's creativity and how come they're not like the Rams, and Jerry lost him on that, too.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
That's why you're on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that was amazing.
All right, Bobby. Hey, I wanted to ask you about that Jair Alexander contract, the corner out of Green Bay. He gets the fatty boom by. I think it's 4 years, $84 million, 31 in year one for Mr. Jair Alexander. How much of an effect does that have on, say, a Trayvon Diggs?
I mean, it's going to have a massive impact on Trayvon Diggs. I mean, all these contracts that you're seeing and everything going up with, you know, the receiver market we saw explode, right, in the last year or so. We've really seen that go up. And on the flip side of that, you're going to start seeing the corner market do the same thing because, well, okay, well, we're tasked with stopping these guys. If we're able to do it, we need to be paid like that. And so I think you're seeing, you know, with some of these big contracts now that guys are getting, Jalen Ramsey, Xavien Howard, Jair Alexander, it's setting up for the Cowboys to have to pay a lot of money to Trayvon Diggs. And I think that, you know, I can't wait to hear, like, some of the justifications because, you know, whenever they get into these negotiations with guys like this, then all of a sudden they try and knock off some value of the vehicle a little bit. And so I'll be interested to see what they push when that comes up because, yeah, it's going to hurt. You know, this is going to be a steep amount that they're going to have to pay. And, I mean, if that's 21 annually now, we're talking about next spring. I mean, if he has another Pro Bowl type of season – then, yeah, you know, when he's eligible for a contract next offseason, they start talking to him, you're probably looking at, you know, 25 annually, something like that.
Ooh, yeah, that's some big money. Bobby Belt, Cowboys Insider with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Is there anybody that's on the roster right now that you feel like could be a candidate for one of these kind of early bird special type contracts, like getting ahead of, hey, let's not let Tony Pollard hit free agency, let's give him a little something? Or is there somebody else that sticks out to you that maybe during training camp or something they sneak in an extension on somebody?
Man, they don't seem too eager to get something done with Pollard. I mean, even in the post-draft press conference, Steven was kind of talking about, you know, their plans for running back in the future. He's like, well, Zeke's making a lot of money, and Pollard's extension is – or Pollard's contract is expiring. And he didn't say it in a way of like, so we got to handle that. It was more like, so clearly he's going to be gone. Like, it was said with that kind of an energy. So, I mean, he's really the only one from that 19 draft class, I think, that you talk about that with. Because the two picks before him there, it's Connor McGovern and Tristan Hill. And I'm not convinced Tristan Hill's going to be on this roster out of training camp. And Connor McGovern is probably in his final year here with the Cowboys. And so it doesn't look like it. I think a lot of their focus is going to be on, as everything seems to be about with this season, I think a lot more of the focus is going to be about 2023 and worrying about Trayvon Diggs and what you want to do with CeeDee Lamb and see where Neville Gallimore's at.
It's Bobby Belt here with you. When it comes to Diggs, assuming he has a similar season, how's Catboy react to that? Do you think they him and haw and play hardball with him, or do you think they've learned their lesson and would want to get something done a little bit earlier?
I mean, they can't help themselves. You know that? Like, I mean, it's whether it's, you know, talking about the way they negotiated Dak, or gosh, the one that I always point to is the way they negotiated DeMarcus Lawrence, which, remember, it kept getting leaked out in the media. They were talking about the Cowboys have offered, like, to make him, you know, one of the three highest paid at his position. And the little kind of, you know, technicality they got there was they said, well, your position is you're a 4-3 defensive end, so you're top three in that respect, but we're not including you in the edge rushers with, like, Von Miller and the guys who stand up and rush because we consider that linebacker in a different position. And so they'll probably do the same thing to Micah Parsons, and they'll do the same thing to CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs. I'm sure, you know, they'll start talking about the yards that he's given up. What I really hope they learned from was the Randy Gregory negotiation, which we've talked about, where you got a little too cute with trying to, you know, say, these tires are a little worn, and, I don't really want the sunroof, and, you know, things like that. And it's so they try and get in negotiation tactics, and I think it costs them. And I don't think you want to risk that with Trayvon Diggs. What he does is so valuable, and what it's something that this team has been looking for so long. They were willing to let a shutdown corner walk away in Byron Jones because he didn't get picked. So you've got the guy that you wanted, so pay him.
Yeah, but Bobby, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the one thing that history will show you with this organization is sometimes they don't go back and, you know, say, okay, we made a mistake here and we should have probably paid a Byron Jones or something like that. I just kind of have a feeling they're going to think, you know what? We'll find a way to develop another corner. We'll find a way to draft another guy. We'll find a way to, you know, that to me, I think eventually you're going to see them draw the line on some of these contracts. You know, I mean,
it feels like they kind of drew the line on Cooper. I mean, I know they paid it, but they didn't bother restructuring it, doing anything to keep it. They purged him.
But that was I'll say this if no one else will. That was personal. That was way personal,
It was about personality stuff for sure. I wonder if more they'd be willing to take that stand on CeeDee.
I mean, personally, let him go.
I think this is going to be a very important year for CeeDee's future here.
Yeah.
I think if
he disappoints, you're going to see things sour really, really quickly.
Do you think if Diggs plays the same, the Cowboys will be willing to eventually give market-setting money to Diggs?
I mean, if he gets 11 interceptions again this year, I think they're foolish not to do it. I think that's ridiculous if you would, you know, try and get cute with that type of negotiation. But again, they have a long history of getting cute with it and costing themselves a lot of money.
Well, we might want them to have, you know, discretion is the better part of valor in this situation, though, because if it's not 11 picks, let's say it's still around the league lead of five, but he's giving up all the yards and the plays, then I'd kind of want them to be wise and say, no, we know him best. He's not a top of the market type of corner. He just picks the ball off more than most.
See, and I think it's been exaggerated how bad he is in coverage. I think that there are times where it's not great, but also that's a little bit of junk science when you're talking about how much yard somebody allows, because you don't necessarily know the coverage, or it's like, well, they were the closest defender to where the ball was caught, and it may not even be his assignment. And so I think that it's a little bit, you know, that's not a great metric to always use. I mean, the interceptions, that's something tangible. And we saw, I mean, that team is not 12-5 last year without Trayvon Diggs, in my opinion. And so, I mean, he's a real difference maker. What you need is a difference maker. I think that that's what they want at all levels of the defense here, is that guys who can make real impacts, and he makes an impact.
Okay, you're saying he makes an impact because of the interceptions, or what? I mean,
I think both. Like, I mean, remember, he shut down Terry McLaurin. McLaurin wasn't able to get anything on him, and McLaurin's a really good receiver.
Absolutely.
And I think we're seeing at Alabama, you saw one of the things that's very important to teams, I think, when they're watching these young players is, let me just see progress. You know, let me see steady progress. You keep building on stuff. That's one of the things they always liked about Dak. Diggs from Alabama up through the pros, you're seeing steady progress. Yeah. And so if he improves again this year, I think it's foolish to walk away from that instead of going, this guy shows a history of putting in the work and doing it. I tell the story all the time that when he was a rookie, he was getting notes from he'd get his game review back after the game, talking with coaches of, hey, here's what you did good, here's what you did wrong. And he was keeping his own notes, his own personal notes on it, and then passing them on to his offseason trainer every week and saying, keep this, we got to remember to work on this offseason. That guy works so incredibly hard. He has a real edge, and he has a rare ability to take the ball away in an era where teams don't really throw interceptions like they used to.
Appreciate you as always, Bob. Anything else before we let you go?
Just a really quick shout out to our buddy Jory Epstein at USA Today. She was named by the PFWA today the Therese Paylor Emerging Writer Award winner. And so just shout out to her. She's really great at her job.
Salute. Thank you, guys. Take care. We'll see you soon.
I love you all.
Bobby Belt with you every afternoon, brought to you by the On Time Experts. It's now time for LA Live with Lucius Alexander. Where are we headed with that, sir?
Is JJ Redick reaching or preaching? We'll get into that next.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time to go back into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius is standing by with LA Live. Now here he is, Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, let's see if JJ Redick is reaching or preaching after this, homie.
Well, all right, you squares. Fire up this funk. It'll make you dance some of everything. Everybody.
Yeah. Busting out. Happy birthday to the homie Awkwafina.
Okay.
Always shout her out. Always shout her out. Happy birthday to her. G-Bag of the day was ABC 15 Arizona. Had a fan reaction to the Suns taking that Game 7 L. Let's laugh at this.
Unfortunately, the team did not meet fans' expectations.
This was the worst the Suns have played the entire season, and I've been to damn near every game. It's embarrassing.
We're a little sad.
We are very sad.
Was very unexpected.
Fans were still optimistic into the half, even though the team only scored 27 points in the first two quarters. This fan says he coaches youth basketball and was disappointed.
My AAU team today put up 50 points in the first half. If you can't put up 50 points in the first half, honestly, boy, you got to do something.
From the coaching staff to the referees, fans blamed everyone and everything.
Thought it was like a magical season, a revenge season. Just didn't expect this. You know, to lose is fine, but what they put out there today was just really hard to watch.
Booker was talking all that smack, and Luka delivered, so that's the definition of a Luka special. But happens to everyone, right? So it was a great season. Been a Suns fan forever, so what can you say but go Suns?
Are you optimistic for next year?
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to pay Ayton. I don't know if Chris Paul doesn't – he aged like 10 years overnight, so I hope so. But we'll see what happens. There's a lot of questions out there.
Shout out to that AAU coach.
Yeah.
Hey, my squad put up that hat. Why couldn't you do it? That's like me saying, hey, man, I made a three-pointer. Why couldn't you make a three-pointer right then and there?
It is pretty – like, when you really sit back, it's still jarring to consider, like, only 27 points in an entire half of NBA basketball. That is insane. And I love the guy towards the end when he's like, ah, you know, kind of happens to everybody. I'm like, no. You don't always, as a one seed, fart away a 2-0 lead. That doesn't actually happen that often.
I like the guy with the AAU coach who says, Monty Williams was coach of the year. You got to hear that in the background.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Like he was just kind of throwing his 2 cents in for that.
J.J. Redick right here. Is he reaching or preaching? He was sitting around Stephen A. Smith and Pat Beverly. Tell me, is he reaching or preaching?
We're talking about it right now in 2022. Who would you rather have with the ball, with the game on the line?
Steph.
It's clearly Luka Doncic.
Steph.
It's clearly Luka.
It's Steph.
Steph.
They're,
Steph.
Guys.
Not even close.
Guys,
Steph.
Think about all the stuff. This is not a knock on Steph. Think about all the stuff that you have to do. All the people that you have to involve to get Steph Curry a shot at the end of the game.
Thank you.
Think about all the action you have to run.
I don't think
you know what you have to do with Luka? You give him the ball.
That's very disingenuous on your part.
It's very disingenuous. That's very disingenuous on your part. Very. Well,
I do like Stephen A. Smith talking basketball a lot, but you know, I think if you're thinking about Steph Curry wide open going up for the three, that's the only context I want him in, with the ball instead of Luka. The thing with Luka, you can't make him take a bad shot.
Yeah.
Most players in the NBA, you know, have moments in their career where they're like, well, crap, the shot clock was running out and the guy was in my face. I couldn't do anything with it. Luka will get you
Absolutely.
A quality shot.
Yeah, I think J.J. Redick's preaching here, Lucius. I really do. I think you have something to the effect where you see it with Stephen A. Smith defending Chris Paul. There's something about the veteran guys, the guys who have been there, done that, that you don't. Like, a lot of times you just don't want to disrespect them, and it's like, hey, look, the young guns got to kind of really, really earn this thing, and in 5 years, then Luka will get all the credit from Stephen A. Smith. There's an aspect to that, but then, and I'm sure I'm missing something here. I'm sure there's Warriors fans that are going to be like, oh, I can tell you two or three big shots, but where's the big, for all the Dynasty Finals runs, where was the big Steph Curry shot that we never forget?
Right.
Like, I don't know. And even in Luka's 5-second
They come
career,
in the third quarter during a 20-0 run right, to win right, the game. Right. Yeah.
He's standing in the stands by that time, and he takes a shot, and we see it on the Instagram. And it's like, yeah. That's the biggest shot I've ever
the
seen pre-game. In my damn life.
Yeah, the pre-game.
It's pre-game.
That's a delightful take, Chiafalo.
You know what? It's funny. Thank you. The worst.
Yeah, yummy and delightful. Pause. Did I need to say pause after that, by the way, Lucius? I've been meaning to ask.
Everybody's on their own, you know? Hey, if you play the game, you play it. You know, I don't know.
The worst thing that's happened to Stephen A.
What did you say? Hey. Sorry, bro.
No, the absolute worst
I said
thing.
Yummy delight.
Yummy delight.
After yummy delight, should I have said pause to Cole Calhoun?
No, that could be
we
anything.
Good there?
Yeah, okay. You good? All right.
They keep interrupting you, Broadus. You go off on him like majors.
Sorry.
He's King Bull over there. Yeah. Come
no,
on.
No.
Hold on. Sorry. Go ahead, Broadus.
No, not at all.
Okay. Anyway, so what I was. I was just playing, bro.
Worst thing that happened to Stephen A. Smith are guys like J.J. Redick and Pat Beverly have come on shows.
Yeah.
The worst thing that's happened to him.
Ooh, that's a good take, too.
Because now it's like, okay, you have to defend your point, and these athletes are not letting him defend
And these are real-life hoopers.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith, swear he's a hooper, though.
Yeah, I mean, and I like it because Stephen A. Smith, I like it. If you're going to throw it out there, these pro athletes are making you have to defend your point now, and I appreciate that.
Coming
I
really after do. You.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, I got some facts on deck. Yeah, appreciate you, B. People who take frequent, long, warm showers and baths tend to be lonelier.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long's long? I do like getting in the bath, but after about 6 minutes, I'm like, dang, this is too hot.
Damn, just 6 minutes?
Yeah, about 6 minutes I think is a good bath.
Sitting down in the bath 6 minutes? Why even run the water? You should just take a shower.
I don't
You're
know.
The idea of it's so great, then you get in, you're like, damn, I'm overheating. Am I sweating right now?
Yeah,
like, I got to do a lot of sitting outside the tub for a minute and then get back in, have to have a giant cold ice water as well to get me through a good 15 minutes of bath time.
Like hot tub next, like at a mountain, like when it's snowing. Hot tub, that's like the perfect back and forth.
Yeah. You got to turn the temperature down on your bath. It's too hot.
Okay.
Does anybody...
You're not enjoying it.
Good advice.
You got to turn it down a little bit,
I guess
bro.
That's the simple way.
I always try to make
problem.
It as hot that I can still tolerate it.
Yeah. I like to get all nice and wrinkled. There's a TV in my bathroom, so I'm like watching something like Scarface, so I can go like, Pelican. Yeah, I got a little wine with me or something like that.
You do the candles, Sounds Lucius?
Nice. Maybe a little ashtray.
Now, is anybody in on a cold shower?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. During the summers? Yes.
Summer, absolutely. Yep.
Because it shocks the hell out of the body, but it's so good for you, bro.
It's so good for you. Like there's, I've seen so many recently like health benefits to
people.
It closes
your pores.
Okay, from a skin standpoint, absolutely.
Yeah. And, so you stop
sweating. There's an immune system thing.
And the inflation. Okay, I'm getting them all mixed up.
No, I know.
Shrinkflation?
No.
Inflammation. Inflammation.
Don't come in here. Might lose respect for me.
Professional broadcaster in that room. Yeah.
Inflation.
One of those. Let's see.
It all hurts.
Psychology says that the highest form of self acceptance is listening to a playback of your recorded voice without cringing.
Oh, yeah. I still remember when I was a little kid, we had this little tape recorder, you know, and we hit record and play, and then it would play back, and I'd be like, no way, do I really sound like that?
Yeah, I feel
it. It took a long time to get used to it during the air checks, you know, in radio in the early days.
Still not used to it, but I know what you're talking about. We had the Talk Boys back in the day.
The Talk Boys?
Yeah, from, what was that, Home Alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Talk Boys, you record yourself, and we should, like, record us, like, farts and play them in slow motion.
Well, you do it 9 years old.
Hilarious.
Yeah, slow motion farts were amazing, plus the reactions afterwards. worker ants take around 250 naps a day. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Wait, can you run that back
for
me? Worker ants. Take around 250 naps a day.
So we can learn something from these guys.
Yeah.
They're taking a lot of L's at my house right now, I'll tell you that much.
The worker ants?
Yeah.
Good for you, bro.
Yeah.
Good for you, yeah.
They built a little Ant-Man trail through my office trying to get to the spilled fruit punch. And I wiped them out pretty good.
Spilled fruit punch?
Yeah. They were tearing up that spilled fruit punch, man. They were harvesting that, taking it back to their nest. I laid down some of that goo, the egg bait goo. Wiped them out, man. I got a major cleaning project on my hand. Just ant bodies everywhere there along the windowsill.
That's hilarious, dog.
And disgusting, but, you know, it got the job done. I'm a big fan of the bait instead of the spray.
Yeah.
The spray's cool. It just kills them right there.
Yeah.
The bait they pick up and take back to the nest. All of a sudden, they're Dunsky. You know, they poison
that's the
they poison the whole squad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I like naps. Yeah. What's that thing called when you like drink during the morning?
A boost news?
No, no. Early in the morning, you wake up and you eat some waffles and you start getting drunk with people and you got to put on
brunch.
Clothes.
Brunch.
Brunch. Yeah, yeah. The mimosas.
I love brunch because you can get drunk at like noon and you sleep by 2 and you're up by like 5 again. Like, hey,
drunk again.
I'm good to go.
Let's have some dinner. Game's about to be on.
Yeah.
Pick up a 12-pack.
Big fan.
Is there anything better than these two words? Bottomless mimosas.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello. Oh,
yep. Yummy.
Yep, yep. Sundresses and heels. The other two.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. Men on average are only able to listen to their partners for a maximum of 6 minutes before zoning out, but up to 15 minutes for their friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard it all before with one of them.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the boys in a while.
Does that go for women too? Do they zone out on us?
Oh, for sure. No. I see it on my wife's face.
She zones out?
Yeah. She's got no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I'm just going, and she's like, I could just see it on her face. Please. I don't call her out for it because I'm just here. I'm just firing off takes. You know what I mean? I'm not even really worried about what I'm just like. I just need a warm body to hear this stuff. But like, I get the. Like, she calls me out a lot for the same deal.
You're where, not listening to me.
Yeah, she's like the not listening thing. Yeah. Oh, man.
So she listens to you. I mean, she's like, she doesn't listen to you, I meant to say. She's like just halfway there now.
I can see it on her face. Like, she has no idea what I'm actually talking about.
I can't even make a noise in the house without her saying, what'd you say? I could be in a whole other room talking to myself. What'd you say? Like, damn. Leave me alone, lady.
There he is, LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night. Seems like about 5:40 during the Ranger season. Yeah. It's pretty good lock-in. Yeah. If not 6 o'clock, you'll get it at some point in this broadcast window. When we come back, we'll talk about what Steve Kerr is saying for how they are going to try to slow down Luka. And we'll get more of your Western Conference Finals Mavericks text messages. The TruckWreck.com fan text is open, and we're back here in the nation.